It's good to see everyone tonight for our Sunday night service, and good to see those who are visiting. It's good to see you here, and just thankful to see all of our members here at O'Neill. In our 7th through 9th grade boys class, we've been discussing the need for salvation. And when you talk about the need for salvation, then you have an understanding that if you need salvation, then somebody must be lost or must be in a lost condition. And so we're talking about that, and we're talking about the necessity of having that road back to God. Now, as we look at that road back to God, the world is going to tell us. The world's going to tell us there are many roads to God. They're going to say that, you know, you just choose the road that makes you feel good. You know, God, He's a God of love, and He wants you to be happy, so you do whatever makes you happy. You know, there is a way. And this way can be quite confusing to our young members, be quite confusing to our middle-aged members, and also quite confusing to sometimes even our older brethren. See, when we start going away from what God says, and from what God wants, and we want to do whatever that we want, there is a way. And that way does not lead to righteousness. That way leads to death. When we lead our life, of what we think is right, then there is a way, and it's not back to God. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We spend so much time sometimes, with our thoughts, our wants, that we fail to go to what is God's Word, His truth, His wishes, and His desires. You know, Jesus warned us. He warned us about the ways of destruction. He warns us and He tells us about His way in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. When Jesus says, He says, "Enter in ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." But what did He say about His gate? He said, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which lead unto life, and few there be that find it." You see, His way, God's way, Christ's way, is the right way. And we must follow Him. And when we follow Him, there are two requirements. And those two requirements are to trust and obey. To trust and obey. Will's going to lead us in this song. See, trusting and obeying, does that mean that we're going to have a life that doesn't have any bumps? Christ didn't tell us there were not going to be any bumps in the road. You see, those potholes, those detours that we have in our life, those bumps are just a part of the road. Remember what the Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse 5. When he said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for ye have said, I will never leave you, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." You see, on that bumpy road of life, and in those potholes, and in those things, God says, I will never leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. You may think that things are going rough, but I am there. So we need, as Christians, we need to stop worrying about the potholes in the road. We need to start celebrating the journey that we're on. As we go through life, and we go through this life, being a Christian, it does not mean that there's not going to be twists and turns that come our way. It doesn't mean that there are going to be unknowns about what lies ahead. You know, when we think about and we look back in different people's times and their road to God, we're reminded, too, of what Moses, at the end of his journey, he's talking to Israel, and he's telling them in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, he tells them that be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord God, he it is that go with you. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. You see, he was ending the end of his journey, and he was telling them that you're going to be going on, you're going to be going ahead, but this is what you need to do. You need to trust. You need to obey. You need to have courage. You need to keep going through those twists and turns in your life. You see, but sometimes in those twists and turns of life, sometimes we get lost. Sometimes we take the wrong turn. Sometimes we make the wrong choice and we find ourselves lost. And then James said in James chapter 1 and verse 14, he said, but every man is tempted, and when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, he said, then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. You see, it's in those very brief moments in our lives, those brief moments of weaknesses, that weakness, when Christians, we need to realize that, you know, we need to realize that when he has and we have sinned, we need to realize that we need to repent, we need to realize that we have a road back to God. We need to remember the promises that God has promised us with. And when we sin and when we fall and when we become lost, we need to remember 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, when he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He has prepared and he has given us a road back to him. It's ours if we choose to take it. But see, sometimes there are other times when we stay in those moments of weakness. We don't come out of those moments of weakness. We stay and we continue in sin, and we find ourselves in a huge traffic jam. It's in these times in our lives that we begin to question our faith. We begin to question our hope. We begin to question the way. We question our salvation. Our zeal, our fire for God, it begins to dim. Our worship begins to decline as we make excuses and we find ourselves skipping. Our prayer life is non-existent. Our conversations become ungodly. Our ears and our eyes are closed to the truth. And we find ourselves in a total gridlock. It's here. It's right here during this time. And some of our brothers and sisters who have fallen away. It's here when we need to be worrying about that lost sheep. It's here when we need to get to work. You see, in Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 11, we know that the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. In the class, we talked about that lost sheep with the kids. They know that Jesus, he wants all his sheep. You see, when we continue on and we look at that in Matthew chapter 18, when you look at verse 12, he says, how think ye? He says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he leave the 99 and goes into the mountains and seeks that which has gone astray? He has 100. One is lost. You see, that's where the work is. The work is seeking those that are lost, just like Jesus did. That's where the work is. It's finding those who are lost, those who are not in the safety of Jesus. He says, and if it be so that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than in the 99 which went not astray. We appreciate the presence always of every one of our members who come back on Sunday night and who come back on Wednesday night. And we appreciate your devotion and your love for the truth and your love for the church here at O'Neill. But we have to remember that love even exceeds all of us here. That love wants to be spread to those who have not yet heard the name of Christ. Those who have not yet named the name of Christ. That needs to go to the ones who have been here with us and who are no longer here. That's where we get busy. That's where we need to get to work. Even so, he says in verse 14, not the will of your Father which is in heaven. He says that one of these little ones should perish. It's not his will that anybody's going to perish. You see, that sheep that went astray was his sheep. It was his sheep, and that sheep is important to him because he loves all of his sheep. You see, when we think about that, and we think about our brothers and sisters who are in that traffic jam, those brothers and sisters who are in that gridlock, we need to make sure that we don't find ourselves being a stumbling block to those who are on the road back to God. We understand what God says about being a stumbling block. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 7, using the NIV version here with this verse I'm quoting, it says, woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe unto them. Woe unto that person through whom they come. We don't want to be the stumbling block in someone else's path. We don't want to be the stumbling block for that person who is lost, who is on that road back to God. We don't want to become the stumbling block for them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, Paul says, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. He says, what we teach and what we've talked about to be a stumbling block in the path of anybody. Because if we do, you see, what we're preaching and what we're teaching is going to be discredited. The same thing is true. If we're being a stumbling block for someone who's trying to come back, and they're just going to do it again, and we have the wrong attitude toward that lost individual, then what's the gospel? Is it going to have the power that it needs to have if we're being the stumbling block in front of it? In Romans chapter 14, verse 13. He says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, he says, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We don't want a brother to fall, and we don't want anybody that's in this building who is here and who is faithful, we don't want you to fall either. We don't want to put a stumbling block before someone else. So tonight, as we're asking and we're thinking about the stumbling blocks, are we a stumbling block? Or are we a stepping stone? How often do I need to forgive my brother or sister who continues to go in and out of sin? Well, Matthew 18, verse 21, what does he say? He says, then came Peter unto them and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times? So give seven times. Well, surely that's all I need to forgive this brother that just keeps falling, keeps sinning. Jesus said, I say unto you, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. What is he saying? Have compassion. Have love. Forgive those who have trespassed against us. He goes on and he talks about a king, and it talks about the kingdom of heaven being likened to this king, and there is a person, and one of his servants, he has got this debt, and he cannot pay the debt. And he begs for mercy, and he forgives him of that debt. That same individual. He finds somebody, and that person has debt against him, and that person, he begs for mercy. The one that's just been forgiven of everything, he's begging for mercy from this individual, and he's very harsh with him. And he says, if he can't pay it, it throws him into jail. He doesn't have compassion. Was he being a stumbling block? Or was he being a stepping stone? You see, our forgiveness and our road back to God, it's made possible by our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, it was on His road, on that road to Calvary. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us. Jesus was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It's in Jesus that we're righteous. It's in Him that we are forgiven of sin. It's in Him that we find that road back to God. Who needs that road? Who needs Jesus? Every single one of us. You see, Jesus paid the debt that we couldn't pay. He paid the debt that He didn't know. He paid our debt with His life. You see, Jesus He paid the debt. Number 859 in our songbooks. Number 859 in our songbooks. All three verses. Go back and we look here in the last verse. One day he's coming back for me. He's coming back for you. He's coming back to save those, to take his sheep, to gather his sheep together and to carry them home. Just to live with him eternally. Won't it be glory to see him on that day? How wonderful it will be when we get to the end of that journey, when we get to the end of the road, if we are a Christian. He's coming back to judge the world. He's coming back to take his children home. Will he take our hand? Will we take his hand at the end of that journey and he lead us home? Or will there be another place that we'll call home? Not the home that we would want to call home. But as we come to the end of that road, we have to make decisions. Hopefully before then we've made decisions, if we've made our corrections in our life. You see how wonderful it was this morning. To see Andrew who started his life as a Christian, who started on the road to God. You see, if you're not on that road tonight, why not start it? You know, I've had some people that said, you know what, it's scary to walk up front. You know what, it is. Sometimes it is scary. But I can guarantee you, if you're going forward to get your life right, we're cheering you on. You see, tonight, here you can start your life in Christ by believing in Jesus, by repenting of your ways, by confessing that sweet name of Jesus, and repenting of your ways and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. How beautiful it is to see the sins of an individual washed away. But it may be that you are a Christian. It may be that you're on the wrong road, that you need to turn back, that you need to make some changes in your life. And no matter how far down the wrong road that you've gone, you can turn back tonight. No matter what you've done, you can turn back tonight. See, he provided us a way. He provided us the way, and the way is through Jesus. So tonight, you let him have his way with you. You let him have his way with you. If you're not a Christian, become one. And if you are one, and you need to get your life right, let him have his way with you tonight as we stand and as we sing.